Our second reading is from the last book in the Bible, Book of Revelation, chapter 3, the verses 17 through 22. We read from the Message Bible, saying, "You brag, I'm rich, I've got it made, I need nothing from anyone. Obvious that in fact, you're a pitiful, blind beggar, threadbare, and homeless. Here's what I want you to do. Buy your gold from me. Gold that's been through the refiner's fire. And then you'll be rich. Buy your clothes from me. Clothes designed in heaven. You've gone around half naked long enough. And buy medicine for your eyes from me, so you can see, really see. The people I love, I call to account, prod and correct and guide, so that they live at their best. Up on your feet then, about face, run after God. Look at me, I stand at the door, I knock. If you hear me call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you. Conquerors will sit alongside me at the head table, just as I, having conquered, took the place of honor at the side of my Father. That's my gift to the conquerors. Are your ears awake? Listen. Listen to the wind words, the Spirit blowing through the churches." Here ends a scripture. May the scripture readings of this morning speak to all of us and reveal to us a God that loves us deeply with a love that will never, never let us go. Dear friends, I've heard about this little girl after they were about to move and the furniture was already gone. She sat down to write a little note, and this is what she wrote. She addressed it to God. She said, "Dear God, I will not be able to talk to you again because we're moving to California." You can never get away from the presence of a loving God. It was long ago, during the first century after Christ, that a man called John wrote letters from the island of Patmos, and he addressed it to the persecuted Christians of those days who were suppressed by the tyranny of Rome. And his purpose was to reach them, to encourage them, and to console them. And he was trying to give them advice. What do you do when you're persecuted from all sides, with nowhere to hide? His advice was, run after God. And then comes the words that all of us know. And I know that's what my mother taught me, these words, when I was 3-4 years old, going to the Sunday school for the very first time. And I'm sure all of you grew up with it, saying simply, "Christ is standing at the door, ready to dine with them, loving and teaching them." We remember the words, "Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock." And God may be knocking this very morning. I knock. And if you hear me call and open the door, He promises, "I'll sit right in. And I'll sit down and have supper with you. I will dine with you." That's a winsome picture to carry in our hearts. that intimate presence of God in our lives, sensing God's Spirit, never walking alone. All of us through this life have had moments of desperation, moments of uncertainty, moments of pain. And in faith, we can then simply lean on the everlasting arms of our God, telling us, you will never walk alone. Come dine with Christ. That brings the question, do you and I ever talk about our faith? I mean, not on Sundays only, but when we're with our friends out there, when we're in normal life, do we ever talk openly about our faith and what we believe? No, not speak about the teaching of the church or talking about other forms of faith and how other people do that, but about your personal faith. Talking about our personal relationship and experiences with God. There are folks everywhere, also in our church, who intentionally talk about the reality of God in their everyday lives. And amongst themselves, they share their personal faith stories, telling each other, it is no secret what God can do. Now, some people will say, sounds like a bunch of hypocrites. Because that's often how people respond when people start talking about God. No, they are not a bunch of hypocrites. And they would not even dream to interfere with what others around them believe or not believe. They have simply discovered that God is real and find it very difficult not to talk about it. That's a kind of secret that we as Christians cannot hold. Somehow we need to say it. We need to do something about it. We need to act it out. Because we've sensed the presence of God. Because we've been in the presence of God. And it is so overwhelming that we want to tell the world it is no secret what God can do. And many of us have vivid memories of the times in our lives when we were overwhelmingly conscious of God's presence, more than other times. Times in our lives when our faith became a visible reality. A time when we decided that talking about God is not as out of bounds as many people nowadays seem to think. A living relationship with God is possible. It is real and it can be life-changing. No matter whom we are or where we are on life's journey. You know, Old Testament scripture tells that long ago, centuries ago, in the middle of nowhere, Jacob had such a God experience, an encounter with the living God, something that he would never forget, that would change his life forever. His only response, the only one that seems fitting at that moment, and we all know the contents of the Old Testament, the story of Jacob, he called that place where he had a meeting with God that he felt deep inside, he called it Bethel, meaning house of God. And from that moment on, from the day when he reached Bethel for the first time, Jacob was never the same again. Before Bethel, Jacob deceived his father and cheated his brother Esau out of what lawfully was his. So let's face it. Let's say it in the language of our times. Before Bethel, Jacob was nothing else but a crook. A horrible person to that moment, seeing what he did to his own family. But there at Bethel, his transformation began that very night. And after Bethel, since that moment, he was a new and a different person. And from then on, Jacob stayed in touch with God's transforming power. And we know the results. That's common history. Jacob's children and their children would bless the world. And much later, in and through Jesus Christ, reached to the farthest shore of this entire world. And that is the reason I know for sure why some of us are here this morning. We didn't come for the show, but something happened in our lives. And I wish there was time that we could just chat with one another. And I know there are stories sitting in this church this morning that would touch our hearts. What God did for you when there was a crisis moment in your life. When you can tell, God was always just a name to me. Something that my parents taught me. Something that I learned in church. But somewhere along my journey, God became a reality. It wasn't just a word. It was a slogan or anything. God became a reality. So we come to church and we worship in heart and spirit to affirm that very same relationship that we have with God, that we cherish, and that many of us pray will be part of us as long as we still breathe on this earth. Sometimes, though, it's not easy to express what we really feel. Many people have that tendency not to show their emotion and to hold it back. There are many of you who have had wonderful experiences sensing God in your life, but you never ever said a word about it. Didn't know how. It happened, but sort of your secret. I think we must be like children when it comes to that. Because children can often so freely express their feelings. And when sincere emotion moves your heart, please do not fight the temptation to express your awareness of God's presence. Say it to someone that you love. I can sense God in this. I can trust God with this. I fear not. I'm standing on a rock, and although I'm trembling on that rock will never tremble under me. That is the faith given to us through the centuries, coming from the heart of God. You know, that's what happened also in the New Testament to the tax collector Zacchaeus. He sensed God's presence while speaking with Jesus. And we know the story of Zacchaeus. His life was never the same again from that moment onwards. Oh, I've seen people having similar experiences even at their darkest moments. You know, after, don't want to say much personal, but after a half a century in pulpits in Europe, South Africa, here, I've seen people having similar experiences even at their darkest moments. I've witnessed many a deathbed transformed into joy when a brother or sister sensed that God was with them. They need not fear. Fear that disappears even as we are breathing our last. Because God is the same yesterday, today, forever. And many of us have memories how that came about in our own lives. I can never fail to tell, as a kid of 15 years, Boy Scout, camping out, we were very, very privileged to have a leader who was serious about faith, spoke with us, told us about Jesus, and said there comes a time when we are become aware that God is calling, that we need to develop a new understanding of who God really is. I'll never forget, 15 years old, my first stuttered prayer. You cannot forget it, because that becomes the moment that touches you and changes you forever. A moment when we surrender ourselves to the will of God. And thinking back, I failed God many, many times since then. But let me tell you, God has never, not even once, failed me. Is it still true? Is it still true in 2014? Can God's power touch and move you and me in such a way that the same transforming power be unleashed also in our midst? Great deeds are being done. Enormous changes are coming about whenever ordinary people like you and me begin to respond to the presence of God in our lives. And like Jacob, believe me, you can also have experiences with God. It can happen. Open up. Seek God. Give God a chance. You know, there's a saying that says the opposite. God often visits us, but most of the time, we're not in. Let us be attentive and know when a God moment comes, not to let it go by. He's standing at the door, the Bible says. Knocking. Not barging in. Knocking. Because we have to open that door from the inside. He will not pull it open from the outside. The place where Jacob experienced God became a holy place for him. At that unlikely place, at that unlikely time, he listened to God's voice. And since that night, that moment, that experience with God would direct his faith and inspire him till his last days on earth. And then much, much later, centuries later, John, the author of the book of Revelations, while alone, deported to an island called Patmos, had a similar God experience. There in his loneliness, he saw a vision described in the Bible. He saw someone that he describes as the Son of Man, talking to him, saying, "Look at me. I stand at the door. I knock. If you hear me and call and open the door, I'll come right in and sit down to supper with you." You and I grew up with that winsome painting on so many walls and pictures across the world. Picture of Jesus knocking on a door that can only be opened from the inside. That's true. It is still the door of your life and mine. We must open the door. God will knock. God will not barge in. Why not do so today? Again, or maybe for the first time, open the door. If you've never done so before, and this day may become the day that you will remember as the first, the very first of your lasting, conscious relationship with God. Oh God, let it be. Let it be. Amen.